deep in the backwoods of America, we have climbed the highest mountains, searched the densest forest, dragged the swamps, and scoured the prairies to find our leader, retired U.S. Marine gunny, Bud Cornwell.
Great patriots of America, this is the Gunny, and you're on the Patriot Cause. Got a very, very special guest on the Patriot Cause today, Senator Tommy Tuberville, better known for us that live in Alabama as Coach. He's a great patriot that has been elected by you to represent you in the swamp, better known as Washington, D.C. He's doing a wonderful job in trying to control what the military is doing to our forces. And without further ado, welcome Senator Coach Tommy Tuberville. Senator, thank you so much for being on the Patriot Cause. There's a lot of questions that veterans, I'm a retired gunny. We have retired Colonel Mark Harper with us, and we are absolutely at a point where we just don't get it anymore. We don't understand from a military leadership aspect what is actually going on in this country and why it's happening. So what I want to do first off is I'm going to read the first three sentences that your secretary sent me, which I think is important because we have to understand what's happening and what you're doing, which is great, but the battle that you're fighting is tremendous. And I don't think a lot of people understand what you're facing, what you're up against, and thankful that you're there. We'd rather have you as a coach, but thankful that you're there. And so last Tuesday, you announced plans to force a vote to confirm the Commandant of the Marine Corps. I love it. I'm a Marine, and you got to have the best leaders. And not only the best leaders of the military, but the best leaders of the nation. And that process should work that way, where the senators and from all states agree that this person is the right person. And not even 24 hours later, Schumer gave in and filed cloture on three military nominees. And we'll talk about that for a second. You have repeatedly said that Schumer can bring these nominees to the floor or get the Pentagon to reserve their illegal policy. The move by Schumer proves that is true. So the first question I have, sir, is help us understand this process, specifically this filed cloture process. Cloture. Yeah. What is this process? And why are they able to do it?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. And I'd like to say, especially to your audience, there's nobody up here that's a bigger military fan than I am. I did not.
Absolutely.
I was not in the military, but I was a military brat. My dad was in the military, landed at Utah Beach at age 17 or 18, drove a tank across Europe, was awarded 5 Bronze Stars and Purple Heart. And then I actually died in a training mission at age 53. So there's nobody that really enjoys working with the military more than me. And I'm also on the Veterans Affairs Committee as well as Armed Services Committee. But that being said, I understand leadership. I was forced to be a leader, but when I became a head coach years ago, and there's a whole lot of correlation. I mean, somebody's got to make decisions. Somebody's got to do the organization. Somebody's got to do the hiring and firing. Somebody's got to set the rules and make sure you go by the rules. But I've watched our military since I've been here, been disappointed in some areas. Now, we've got a lot of great young men and women in our military.
Absolutely.
They're dedicated. But y'all will know this. If you don't have a strong military, you don't have anything in your country, because everything's up for grabs, because you don't have the freedoms. You don't have the freedom of speech. You don't have the rules, which are rules of the Constitution. So over the last couple of years, I've watched the administration, the Biden administration, attack our military in ways that it just really made me mad, to be honest with you. But when this rule went down with Roe Wade from the Supreme Court saying that abortions had to go back to the states, federal government had nothing to do with it, you know, that's the way it ought to be, because people should be able to vote on it in their state, not the federal judges and senators and congressmen make the abortion laws. Well, the Biden administration said, we can't handle the states, but we can handle federal employees. So that's what they did. They went after the military. And we've had a policy in the military for 35 years that went through Congress, went through the Senate. Joe Biden voted for it, as well as the other Democrats. And it was abortion with the three exceptions, no taxpayer money used. And it's worked perfectly. Nobody's complained about it or anything, but they changed it. They said, we're going to do a new policy and we're going to involve taxpayer money. They briefed me on it. And I said, wait a minute. I mean, that's illegal. You can't do that. You know, at least you got to run it through Congress. If you can get it passed, that's fine. I said, no, we're going to change it with a memo. So that's when I told them I was going to block all their admirals and generals as a group. Now, I'm not blocking single nominees. They can bring anybody up like we do normal federal circuit judges. They can have them confirmed. But I'm not going to allow them to do 300 or 400 at a time. And so I believe in a democracy. I do not believe that the White House and the Pentagon should dictate to the people of this country one of the most controversial issues, which is abortion and money spent on abortion. So I've held these nominees now for, 7 months? Well, last week, we needed a commandant of the Marines. And I pulled out a rule, an old rule of the Senate, saying the minority, if you get 17 senators to sign a petition, I can actually bring somebody up to the floor for that cloture vote. Well, Schumer didn't like it because I got all my signatures, and he said, I'm not going to let Coach do this. I'm going to do it myself. So he actually confirmed three. So it kind of showed the people, hey, he can do these. He can do them himself. Coach is not holding them up. And so it's worked out pretty good. I'd love to get more of them confirmed, but the Democrats right now have control of the floor. I might bring another one or two up here in the near future to get them confirmed, force his hand again. But it just shows you how hard-headed these people are in the White House and the Pentagon when, you know, they change this policy and it's costing. They're blaming me for readiness. Actually, it's them that have moved the policy. They can move it back and we'd confirm all of them at one time. But it is what it is.
Yes, well, sir.
Coach, and can,
go ahead, Mark.
Coach, you know, your dad fought in the largest conflict ever known to man. The ratio of flag officers to personnel was 1 to 6,000 back in World War II. We now have 1 to 1,400 flag officers. It sounds like the military is just like Washington. It's bureaucrat heavy. So what do you think about that?
Well, you're exactly right. There's 44 four-star generals as we speak. We had 7 during World War II with 12 million military personnel. Now we only have 1.5 million. We've got way too many. But that, you know, that's not for me to say. I'll tell you that. That's for our president and the people in the Pentagon to decide that. But I do agree, we're top heavy. And those four-star generals, each one of them have a couple of thousand civilian employees and a budget of $200-$400 million. And so I would like to get it back to normal, get it back down a little bit. Again, make it prestigious to be a four-star, not for everybody over to have one. And it's, but again, it goes back, number one, to abortion, number two, being a dictator, which to me, that's communism when you're doing laws from the White House instead of through Congress. And the third one is restructuring our military and getting it back the way it ought to be, getting a few leaders at the top and the younger ones working their way up. But and the expense, this year our defense budget will be close to $850 billion. And it's the little things like that I think that take away from the people that do the war fighting and training for the war fighting is the privates and the sergeants and the captains and the lieutenants that need more pay. We do not pay these young men and women enough. You know, making $40,000 as somebody that's going to go out and protect your country, you know, that's welfare wages. I mean, you can't live on that. And if we expect to have an all-volunteer military, we're going to have to do something about that and flip this from top to bottom and try to get more money for the people that actually are doing the work in the military.
When I retired as an E-7 after 20 years in the military, I was making $35,000 a year. When I was a sergeant, I was getting food stamps and WIC because I couldn't live. And you're right. That's just absolutely insanity. I worked for the VA as a chief information officer in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I've seen how this bureaucracy works in these departments, as we call them. And I walked off the job. I was done. I didn't want a pension, nothing. The reason behind that is because that is when I determine that I'm going to do what I can as a citizen, as a person, to work with the legislation to control our government. So here's what I found out probably about a week ago. The VA, because I go to the VA all the time, along with Mike, is what they're doing is they have training videos on abortion. They're training these people how to do abortions, how to make that determination. Now, let me ask you this. I don't think the VA is part or attached to directly through the Department of Defense. It's a bureaucracy of medical health for the veterans. So why do they have the right to do that if they're not attached to this DOD policy?
Well, that's a good question. Again, I'm on the VA committee, as I said, as well as Armed Services. And last spring, we found out for the first time ever that this came from the Biden administration, that they were going to start doing abortions in the VA. And again, I hit the ceiling. And so we went after this one. They actually brought this one to the floor for a vote like they should the other one. And it passed. It passed. You know, and everybody said, why should we not have abortion in the VA? Number one, we're not equipped. Number two, we're not trained to do it. And but they started them last spring and they're doing them. Again, but at least they went through the right process and voted. I lost a couple of Republican votes, but it still discourages me. But, I've been to the VA many times with my dad. I've never been real fond of the VA because we unionized everybody in the VA. We got way too much bureaucracy, way too much paperwork. I'm more for community care, where if you, for instance, have a problem, you should be able to go to your real doctor, your community hospital, and the government pay for it. We are absolutely spending way too much money on something that's not as adequate as it should be. And I'm talking about the VA.
But I will tell you this. I was in the VA in Arkansas and North Carolina and Virginia, different places. Alabama's the best, hands down. Nobody compares in my life what Alabama VA does for me. Good. And I fill out the reviews and everything. So I'm just telling you, some places are better than others. And I think it's because the moral aspect of caring with the VA, that's where it lies. So finally, I want to ask you this. When I was in the Marine Corps and when the colonel was in the Army, there were two groups. People said, what are you talking about? There were two distinct groups, men and women. There's a reason behind that. It's a moral issue and it's a physical issue that we have to deal with. But today, what has happened, give you an example, is a few years back, they allowed women to go into combat arms. I'm good with that. Some of them are good at it, and that's okay. But they were still separated when talking about barracks and showers and, you know, all of those things. But what we're dealing with is we're dealing with officers that are coming in, being approved or being allowed to do these DEA or DEI, you know, CRT, all of this stuff. What they're doing is they're separating people into groups in the military. And if I was still a gunny in the military, I would have a hard time, because it doesn't matter where they come from. They're Marines. They're cohesive together. The only thing that separates them is, again, the moral and the physical abilities of an individual. Everything else is the same. Why are they trying to separate or develop this military into this insane society agreeing culture? I don't understand. Do you guys talk about that?
Oh, do we? We have these hearings with the SecDef and all the generals and the Secretary of Air Force and Navy and Army, and we lash into them. The Republicans do. Now, again, let me say this. You know, we're losing our institutions. We're losing the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ. They've all become woke, infiltrated by extremists, by activists. And they attack the Constitution, our country. Nothing's done by law. We're losing our streets. We're losing our border.
Yes.
But the one thing I will tell you is the one thing we cannot lose, and I said this earlier,
military.
We can't lose. If we lose that, it's over. They've already got our education system. And, you know, for years, you know, it kind of goes up and down with kids, you know, going through schools and all these activists teaching, you know, the climate change as you said, the DEI, the CRT, all that stuff. But when it comes to the military, the one thing I tell people, the military is not an equal opportunity employer.
That's okay? Correct.
It is something where you get in by merit. You get in because you can do the job. I don't care about race, religion, wealth, poor, country, urban. It doesn't make me any difference. When you go in the military, if you are eligible, if you are physically eligible and you can do the job, I'm all for you. Because when you go in there, you got to understand your job is to protect this country and the Constitution. And you fight as a group. Now, I will tell you this, and we fight every day up here with the Democrats trying to separate and put different groups within the military. If you do that, it'd be like saying on a football team, okay, your offensive lineman, you don't have to worry about the defense, or you don't have to worry. You're a separate group, a quarterback, it is a team. And I tell the SecDef and I tell the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, you better keep this woke stuff out of the military, quit dividing it, because if you do, we're going to lose our military. And when we lose that, we've lost our country. And so, again, as I said, I want it by merit. I want it by dedication. I want it by discipline. And if we lose those three things, we got huge problems.
Yes, sir. I was a drill instructor in the Marine Corps for 3 years. I had to train these kids to go out there and do that. And if they were weak, they were gone. It's that simple. That they didn't have it, they were gone. But now it's like, oh, now you got to let the platoons or graduate people based on so many of this, so many of that. That's insanity.
When I got back from the Persian Gulf in 91, I was asked to speak on several occasions after that. And one of the questions that I was asked is, should women be allowed in combat? And I said, absolutely. They're just as ruthless as men. We just should send all female units, because I was in a combat support unit, And I had to walk the line at 4 o'clock, and I could just see me going into, you know, somebody manning the towers and finding somebody coupled up, which led the whole unit to possibly being decimated. And I went, no, we should put them in all female units, all male units, you know, and send them in. Yeah.
It's a tough situation. People ask me what I think. I said, listen, I don't care if you think you're a giraffe. As long as you can work with other people and help us win. I always got to remember this, too. There's no second place in war. You either win or you're gone.
Or you lose.
And you're going to lose. And when you lose, a lot of them lose their lives. Look what's happening in Ukraine right now. There's hundreds of thousands of people getting killed on both sides. And this thing shouldn't have been over with. We have no diplomacy. We have nobody that really wants to work this
absolutely
out.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's the most asinine thing I've ever seen. We put in Ukrainians in a situation where, you know, they can't win. I mean, they don't have the numbers. It's not that I'm not pulling for Ukraine and I'm not a Putin fan. You know, this is not the old USSR. This is Russia. This is a different country. And they're actually, in a lot of ways, more Christian than we are now. You think about it. They are more Christian than we are. And I heard Putin himself say that Western countries are losing their morals. And when the president of Russia is saying that, and he goes, we do not allow same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
I think, listen to this. I mean, things have totally swapped on us. You know, I'm a religious person. I believe in God. If we don't get God back in this country, I don't know how much longer we can last.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm tired of this being pushed on our country, things that don't need to be pushed. And again, I'm all for the military. I want us to have the best in the world. But right now we're headed down a road where I don't think we've got a lot of room for improvement.
Well, Coach, I know you have to go. One last question for me, though, and you were talking about military. Why do we need 87,000 new IRS armed agents?
Because we're $33 trillion in debt. These people up here don't know how to work a budget. And they're looking for any possible ways to get more money to pay for the crazy things. Like, you know, we spent, what, $4 trillion? $4 trillion in the last few years on climate change. And the climate hadn't changed. Now, it will change.
It's iota.
but we can't control it. The only person that can control the weather is God.
Amen.
You know, carbon in the air, you know, if we were to cut our carbon to zero, look what Russia, look what China, look what India, all these other countries are doing. And not to say that they're right, but they have no problems. We love our environment. We love the world we live in, and we're going to take care of it. But we got these goofballs making billions of dollars. These politicians like Al Gore and John, they're making money off of this. And the American people are just being sucked in. Our young kids in these universities are being sucked in by these crazies that are talking things that the EV cars and doing away with fossil fuels, you can't do it. It's impossible. We're going to have electric trucks and more. Are you kidding me? I heard them say that.
Well, you know, Tesla is going to put, you know, they're going to put plug-ins in all the different countries so we can fight wars. And I get all that. And you know, this is absolutely insane what these people think about. And my take on this is very simple. It's full global politics. It's not American politics. We're just being drawn in to the, you know, Charles Schwab's, all, you know, all of that United Nations idea of making
Klaus Schwab, not Charles.
Klaus Schwab.
You know, the things that are going on now with the crime in the street that we have, they're not safe. The big cities, the education's gone. But the one thing that's going to get us, and it you can go back and look at history of just 10 years, what Europe did. They allowed all these illegal immigrants to come in. Now they're running their cities. They don't even go by the laws or the culture of some of these European cities. France is gone. Italy's gone. UK's gone. Compared to what they used to be, they have no control. And what are we doing? We let 11,000 people come across our border yesterday. Just yesterday, 11,000 at one time. And think about this. were in debt up to our eyeballs, and they cost us $30,000 to $40,000 a year each that comes across.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it is absolutely crazy what we're doing. But that's the reason I'm a Trump guy. I like President Trump. Now, sometimes he can be over the top, but I'm going to say he's a leader. He'll make a decision. And what he says, when I'm reelected, they're going back to where they came from. And that's
absolutely.
Our only chance, guys.
That's our only chance. Yes,
and
sir.
I hear all these Democrats and a lot of people say, I just can't vote for him. I'm going to tell you what, if you don't, and we get this same group back in there, it's over. The country that we grew up in is over.
Absolutely.
It's over. Sack the bats, circle the wagons.
Yep. Try to figure out some kind of planet that you need to go to because, you know, I love it. This Cuban guy was talking to Reagan and he told him, he goes, I had a place to go. I was able to come to the United States to get freedom. There's no other place to go.
No other place.
And that's what we're dealing with, right?
Well, we're becoming like the other places now. That's the problem. Yes, all right, guys. Absolutely. I'm going to have to get out here. I got to go vote. So thank y'all.
Senator,
God bless you. And let's make a difference.
We appreciate what you did at Auburn, and we love you for what you're doing now. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
And by the way, Mike's wife was highly pissed off. I have to say this, massively pissed off that you were released from Auburn. We're still mad about that.
Oh, we are. We're still mad about that.
Well, I live there now, so I'll be at the game on Saturday.
All right, Mike, that was awesome.
It was awesome. He's a great guy.
What do you feel about this, you know, Air Force Chief of Staff guy? You know, what is your opinion about process of getting these DEI people into these leadership roles?
You know, it's really crazy, but in you and I, because of the friendship we have, we see the same, we look through the same lens. The military has no business. The military is the most diverse, equitable organization ever devised by man. We have no business pitting one group against another because we are a cohesive fighting group. And I say group because, you know, it used to be, you know, the Marines would do their thing and the Army would do it. But now we have this joint task force. And so the Marines will take this aspect of it, be supported by this, and the Air Force supports both. And so why do we need diversity? Why do we need racial, you know, teaching? Why do we, the only thing we need to do is teach how to break things and kill people. That's it. It's the two basic tenets of any military organization. And we're really good at it when you turn us loose and let us do it. But bureaucrats, you know, I can remember Dianne Feinstein. She was one of the big proponents of women in combat. Women, I said, okay, I'll tell you what. Let one of them qualify to be a Navy SEAL. And let her commanding officer come up and say, okay, we've got a mission. Okay. And that woman then raise her hand and say, well, I can't go because it's, you know, it's my time of the month. He's go, wait a minute. You just broke down this entire unit's, you know, readiness.
Yep.
So we're going to throw you out there in the middle of the ocean and you're going to do your part. Well, she would make about 12 strokes and a shark would take off both her legs. Okay.
Yep.
So that just goes to show you that there's sometimes when you just have to, you know, tell Dianne Feinstein, you've got no idea what you're saying. Absolutely none. The military fights for the man on the right and the man on the left. We don't fight for flag or country. We fight for the man on the right, the man on the left. When you can't pick up your buddy and carry him back to a safety place, the cohesiveness of that unit fails.
Breaks down. Yep. Breaks down.
Well, you can
the unit is, the whole unit is determined on the mission and the condition of the physical and mental condition of the people that are in that unit.
Absolutely.
People say, well, if you got these weapons, you got this, all this technology, whatever it is. Look, it doesn't matter what you have. If inside of every individual that unit, the character is not aligned together in the unit to accept what the mission is and dedicate their lives to that mission, it's over. Before you even cross the line of departure, it's really that simple.
And a lot of
people don't understand how military works. They're saying, just give them more weapons, give them more rockets, give them more whatever. No, how about you give us character? You give us people that can actually do the job with the weapons that we're going to give them. That's the primary issue, right?
One of the things that I've always had the utmost respect from the Marine Corps is that every one of you guys and gals, no matter what branch you're in, is first and foremost a rifleman.
That is correct.
The Army's not like that. Army, we break it down. If you're a typist, well, you've got your little typewriter or whatever. Now your screen or whatever. Mm-mm. The first and foremost of everybody in the military is they should be a rifleman.
Yep. They should be an actual soldier, a true soldier first.
Yes.
And then the MOS follows that.
When all the technology breaks down and the enemy's on your gates, that's it. Everybody's got to fight.
Surrender or die.
That's it.
Right.
Yeah. So, people that have never been in the military don't really understand that while it's simplistic to look at, it's very complicated to proceed.
Yeah.
Just think about the logistics involved in moving 1,000 people someplace. Trucks, water, food, ammo. Yeah, you got to have a headquarters company, so they got to have paper. I mean, it's an amazing, all-encompassing thing.
Yep.
The majority of civilians don't think of it that way.
Nope.
They only think about their job and how it fits into their day. But the military,
Yeah, I really learned that when I went to Smalley, and I really realized what the military actually is, even though I was in the military for 11 years prior to that. And when I came back from Somalia, I had a whole different concept of what the military is, not just the Marine Corps, how all of the forces come together, Air Force, the Army, the Navy with their ships, and how it's all integrated to accomplish a higher type mission of doing what? Supporting the United States. And unfortunately, in some cases, the political decisions to send us there. But, once that decision is made, the military does and should do what they do. Once that decision is made, we go and do the mission. That's where our focus is. We're not worried about why somebody's sending us there, which a lot of us, are like, Somalia's a great example. Why am I even here? Why am I dealing with, what's going on in Somalia? Because our government said to go there. And unfortunately, you got to get past that to be able to survive, and two, to be able to complete the mission.
Going back to our discussion with Senator Tuberville, if we had any kind of leadership, we'd be going to Zarenko or whatever his name is in the Ukraine, and we'd be going to Putin and say, you guys got to sit down at the table.
Yep, absolutely.
Send your representatives. Y'all have got to sit down, because guess what? Nobody's winning anything at this point. What we've got to have is a ceasefire, and you guys got to come and let's see where our differences are and see if we can't work through this.
I guarantee you, neither one of those countries have a strategy to win the war.
No.
They don't. That's why we're still in the situation.
And the thing about it, Bud, we're paying the full salaries and benefit of 57,000 EMT workers over there in Ukraine. We're paying the pensions of their bureaucrats. I mean, if there's not some sort of graft involved, why are we even doing all this stuff?
Right.
It's one thing to send them a case of bullets, but it's another thing to start paying everybody's fringe benefits and everything like that. We sent them money for small businesses. Our businesses over here are dying. We're sending over there to keep their businesses propped up. Something's not right with this picture.
Nope.
And you, well,
Mike,
do a
lot. Appreciate you being on the show with us, with the senator.
My privilege.
You know, hopefully I can get him back. But it was amazing that the senator had the time to spend with us. He's a great patriot. He understands it. And I think he has learned so much coming out of Alabama, you know, with his coaching skills, developing character, individuals, all that. And then he goes into this swamp environment and he's realizing that the people that are actually running this country, that are part of Congress, they don't have that. They don't have what is necessary to be great leaders of the country. So that's what he's dealing with.
One of the things, Bud, that he said that was amazing to me was, you know, they had a law. They have a law in place about abortion, and they've had it for 30 years. It was voted on and passed by both the House and the Senate.
Yep.
And the Biden administration just goes, we're going to sign an executive order and change all.
Yep.
Where'd they get that kind of power?
They don't. They don't have that kind of power. But we and the legislative system is allowing that to happen.
That's right.
Because the majority of them are weak.
Yep.
Insane, sick, non-leading, self-centered, you know, politicians. All they care about is, if I can get reelected again, doesn't matter what the policy is, I'm going to do it. So have a great day. Thank you very much for Colonel for being on here. And we will talk to you later.
Talk to you later, brother.
Yep.
Wish a buck was still silver, and it was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis, before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work and still would. best of the free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good. I wish Coke was still cola and a joint was a bad place to be. It was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook and still would. It's the best of the free life behind us now. The good time really over for good. I'll be rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell, with no kind of chance for the flag or the Liberty Bell. I wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. All right. The best of the free life behind us now. The good time's really over for good. Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell. Thank you, Will. Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the Liberty Bell. Let's make a Ford and a Chevy that would still last 10 years like they should. 'Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.